welcome you to another edition of Gateway to Baseball Heaven. I'm your host, Daniel Topdoss, C70 at the bat, at C70 on Twitter, and with me is the world traveler, Tara Wellman, maybe country traveler. We haven't sent her across overseas quite yet, or at least not this year. Tara Wellman is, of course, Bird Seeds, Bird Blurs on the Black, and at Tara Wellman on Twitter. We're coming to you as the Red Sox are leading the Dodgers 2-1 in Game 5 of the World Series, which could mean that baseball season ends officially tonight and the hot stove kicks off tomorrow. We'll have to wait and see what the Dodgers do. But, Tara, what have you thought so far of the World Series? It's been fairly interesting, I think, in some regards. Maybe not the way that the people have not been tuning in maybe as much as they should have, but that's a different story. But what are your thoughts about the Dodgers and the Red Sox?
It is interesting that, you know, two significant markets like Boston and LA aren't necessarily drawing more attention. But that aside, as a baseball fan, man, this postseason has for me been a lot of fun to watch, which is interesting. I've heard a lot of people, particularly Cardinals fans, talking about the postseason being pretty boring and how they're just not invested. But for me, it's been really interesting to see these teams that, particularly in the AL, are so good and just so deep in their ability to, you know, throw something at you, both from the pitching side and the hitting side, and just never really seem out of it. It's been, it was not, let me put it this way. I picked the AL team to win the World Series from the first round of the postseason because, man, you see those teams just going at each other. When we saw how the Red Sox beat the Yankees, not just that the Red Sox beat the Yankees, but how they beat them, how convincingly they did so, and then how they made the Astros pitching staff look like they were okay, I guess, when most of the season, anyone who's faced the Astros knows they're far better than just okay as a pitching staff. Man, they're just so good up and down the lineup. Their pitching staff has come in and done their job. And for LA on the other side, I felt like LA probably matched up a little bit better with the Dodgers than the Brewers would have, particularly from a pitching perspective. But even they just, I said last night on Twitter that the Red Sox feel like they're always one at bat away from being in complete control, even if they're down by four runs. It seems like just one hit, one, you know, guy on base can completely turn the tone in their favor because, you know, the guy coming up behind them is just as capable as the guy ahead of him. So it's been fun for me to watch without any real emotional investment, just because of the quality of baseball, particularly from the Boston side in this series. Other than that, the Dodgers have not done themselves any favors as far as the hashtag narratives about them in the postseason, whether it's Dave Roberts or Clayton Kershaw or just the way that their bullpen has been completely incapable of getting outs. And the Rich Hill situation from last night is one of the most bizarre stories in recent history, at least as far as postseason pitching decisions are concerned.
Yeah, I mean, listening to that story today was fairly strange. I mean, watching it last night, in the way that teams run their bullpens and run their starters and not wanting to let people go three times through the order, even though that Hill was going well, it wasn't just terribly surprising to see. It wasn't like, what in the world is Roberts doing here? I mean, some of that, but still, it made somewhat sense. I don't think anybody thought that it was a complete miscommunication on the mound and that Rich Hill could have stayed in if he wanted to, but he decided, nah, you know, I'm sure he's going to take me out, so I'm just going to go ahead and, you know, make the decision for him. That, like you said on Twitter, it's kind of the reminiscent of, you know, Tony La Russa getting out there and wondering why Lance Lynn is on the mound. You know, it's communication issues that we don't usually see on in the big league. But yeah, to your point though about the Red Sox, I was watching game two and Ryu had two outs and two strikes on the batter, and I don't even remember who it was, may have been Benintendi, I'm not 100% sure. Late in the game, the middle of the game, you know, whatever that inning was, fourth inning, fifth inning, something like that, no score. And he threw a pitch that he thought was strike three, started to walk off the mound, and it was ball one. And I was like, the Red Sox are going to score here. Mm-hmm. And because that, all you have to do right now, it feels like, is give the Red Sox the smallest of cracks, and they stick their foot in the door and bust it wide open.
Yep.
And sure enough, they scored, you know, I think 4 runs that inning, which is just insane. So yeah, it's, you know, even if the Dodgers come back to win today and they go back to Boston, you know, it's fairly clear that the Red Sox are a much better team than the Dodgers are. And we kind of said that going into the postseason. I think a lot of us felt that way, just because, you know, we talked about it a little bit later, late in the season, even when the Cardinals were still in that mix. It was like there was no National League team that just stood out that was this obvious pick. Because if the Cardinals had made it into the postseason, you know, you could make a case that they could have been in the World Series. I mean, I think, you know, the bullpen probably would have done them in or something like that, but there was that case of they're not that much farther off of the teams that are there. And Boston, while granted, got a chance to pad that 108 wins by playing the Orioles all the time, which will give a lot of people a lot of wins, are just really good team. And, you know, unlike some other teams that we have seen, a team that could be very good for a long time. They're a very young team, a team that is, for the most part, not completely, but for the most part, developed their own players. And
that outfield is incredible and so much fun to watch.
You put a Razorback out there, and it's not surprising.
That's what it is. That's what it is.
You know, they weren't anything until they got, you know, that Razorback invented Indy out there.
Credit where it's due, though. I mean, we got to give David Freese some props for at least keeping the Dodgers in the mix here in this last game, at least.
I mean, if David Freese triples and homers, you know, up until this point, your team is 100% likely to not only the game but the World Series. So, you know, if the Dodgers can't win tonight, it's just, I don't know. I don't know how you don't do that. It's very interesting. Somebody mentioned that there is this chance right now that you could see the first World Series cycle. I mean, David Freese has done the hard part, so see what happens. I don't know. Of course, the Dodgers have done a pretty decent job of, you know, continuing to take him out of games, so maybe he's not going to get 4 at bats. But
the late season heroics can't happen when he's sitting on the bench. I feel like someone needs to tell Dave Roberts this.
And the fact that, you know, David Freese is hitting .455, it looks like, in the postseason. You know, maybe let him hit a little bit more. I don't know.
Gotta, you know, solidify that defense, though, man.
That's right, because, you know, it's very important to have a very good defense out there when the Red Sox score 4 runs on, you know, late inning home runs. speaking of, you just wonder if you'll ever see Ryan Madsen again.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want, I mean, again, I haven't watched all the games, and I haven't watched, obviously, these teams intently throughout the year, but it feels like it doesn't take that long to figure out that you don't bring Ryan Madsen in with runners on when he allows all of them to score. You would think, and yet that seemed to be the first call, you know, the first call last night after Hill was to bring him in. And it did not go well. So I don't know. I mean, you know, we gave Mike Matheny a lot of mess for dealing with the bullpen. But you start looking around the league, and even managers that are supposed to be really good or have had a lot of success seem to make a lot of the same mistakes, or what we would consider mistakes, make the same choices maybe when it comes to a bullpen.
Yeah, I mean, look, managing a bullpen, in my opinion, is the hardest part of that person's job, whoever the GM is, because so much of it comes down to, it doesn't matter what should work or what the numbers say, if that guy doesn't execute a pitch, it's going to look like a terrible decision. And, you know, as a manager, we all have talked about this 100 times in the last several years, or probably since the beginning of baseball, that, you know, a manager can't execute a pitch for a guy. So he's the one that's going to take the heat if it doesn't work, but he can't actually execute the pitch himself, which is, you know, probably why he's not still on the field as a player, but that's a different point entirely. It's so difficult to make that decision correctly every time. And that's why, you know, bullpens go through really weird stretches where a guy's not executing and the guy after that that's supposed to take his spot also isn't executing, and then the manager's in a bad spot. I mean, last night, they were managing in a game following an 18-inning extravaganza. You knew the bullpen situation was going to get weird for somebody. But you're right, to see the same calls to the bullpen time and time again makes it seem like there really is something to whatever the philosophy of Mike Matheny was. That's not just him. It's more than a Mike Matheny problem. It's a thing that's a real theory that a lot of managers expect to work better than it does.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, relievers are just ridiculously temperamental, if you will.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to work sometimes, they're not going to work other times. And all the manager can do is make the right, with the information that he has, make the right choice. And it may not turn out the right way, but you got to hope that he makes the right choice. And I think that's sometimes what we have given criticism for in the past, is, you know, not making the right choices, not
right.
necessarily the right results. Speaking of not the right choices, Clayton Kershaw made the wrong choice to Mookie Betts, and now it is 3-1. And it's interesting, maybe we can use this to actually talk about the Cardinals eventually, but we'll get there. There's not that much. I told Tara we're going to talk about Colton Wong, and so I'm trying to, you know, speak my piece now before she gets going. But you've got two pitchers tonight, if I remember right. I believe that's the case. I know Clayton Kershaw can opt out. I'm pretty sure David Price can opt out at the end of this season as well. You know, I think going into this postseason, it was pretty obvious that Clayton Kershaw was going to, and David Price was not. I don't know. Do you think that's still the same? That's still the case?
I would assume. I don't know. I'm so. I don't like to make those sort of assumptions for people, but, you know, it's the off season. What else are we going to do? So I think the conclusion about Kershaw has always sort of been, or the assumption perhaps I should say, is that he will opt out because that man's going to make a lot of money. And Price is interesting because it's not the same situation where, you know, he's been with the organization for such a long time and he has this great history and he's sort of the guy. But he is on a really good team. And as you mentioned, a team that has the potential to be really good again. I don't know what the market would look like for David Price. There's this weird dynamic with both of those pitchers, that's a pretty stark difference between their regular season play and their postseason play. And, you know, make of that what you will. I think anyone who has a chance to get a Kershaw type starter, it's going to take their chances in the playoffs if you get him for the rest of the regular season. But again, I think the markets are going to be pretty different. Price has put together some really strong performances in this particular postseason. Kershaw has looked fairly human this year, and that's, you know, you're looking at maybe the past prime to some degree, Clayton Kershaw. But there's a lot of track record to go on. So I don't know, as far as who's going to do what, I think the what the market looks like for them is going to be different between the two. And that's a conversation that I'm sure their agents are not officially having right now. But they've got a lot of phone calls on the agenda for tomorrow if this game ends as it stands now.
You know, being said, you know, Clayton Kershaw's next 2 years are $34.5 and $35.5 million. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, if he can go out and get maybe a deal that stretches out longer and gives him more money overall, I don't know that he's going to be able to reach at going into age 31 to get $35 million again. I don't know. Maybe. But, I think that would be more about he may stay in there. As for David Price, I see an article from September that says he's not going to opt out to go to a lesser team, but my conspiracy type theory is that he, you know, would win a World Series with Boston and then opt out because his time in Boston has been so turbulent that he was like, hey, I've got my money, I've got my ring, now I'm going to go somewhere where I can have fun to play.
Right.
you know, again, obviously that's probably not the case because, you know, let's see, David Price is probably not going to make the money on the free agent market. Like you said, the markets are very different, and his salaries... Well, yeah, he's $31-32 million for the next 4 years. He's not going to make that. So if he wants to go somewhere, it's just because he doesn't want to play in Boston. And when you look at this team, that could be even the World Series two or three times more in the next 4 years. Why wouldn't you go somewhere else? So, I don't know. We'll see, but yeah, those Price will probably stay put, and you know, Boston fans may not be excited about that. But
winning a World Series generates a little bit of goodwill, so you know, it might last him through the first 6 weeks of the season.
You mean the 6 weeks of spring training, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, it is Boston.
Yeah, it's Boston. So. they have gone in the last 14 years from desperately wanting a title to now feeling entitled to them, I believe, given that, well, you know, the fact that this will be, what, is this four that they've won since then? 2004, 2007, 2013, and if they win tonight, 2018, am I missing one?
I think that's about it.
Yeah, but still, four in the span of, you know, almost 15 years, that's a pretty remarkable run, and there's really no particular reason to think that it's about to stop, so... So we're talking free agents. We'll talk about one that actually has a little bit of Cardinal impact then perhaps. Scott Boras comes out today, interview with, I believe, Michael Kay on Michael Kay's radio show, and says Bryce Harper's already got his team figured out and the contract is pretty much done and, you know, all this kind of stuff. Now, if you listen to the interview, it's fairly clear that he's joking, but a lot of people took that as, you know, gospel truth.
It's the internet, man.
Yeah, and I think that just kind of shows just how crazy this offseason may get for those guys.
Yeah, man, and the thing is, Scott Boras is the guy that's going to stoke the craziness. So it's not like he's going to try to reel it in and be real, subtle or quiet about the whole thing. He likes it crazy, I think, as far as the working, the wheeling and dealing of contracts is concerned. And that seems to work to the benefit of the guys that employ him, because they typically get paid. Although I will be curious how this offseason shakes out after what we saw last year with so many teams not willing to go to the nth degree of a ridiculous contract for a big free agent. And a lot of those names not getting signed until really, really late in the spring. Greg Holland till opening day. There were a lot of guys that just didn't come off the board as far as free agents were concerned. And I'll be very curious to see if that sort of trend continues or if there are enough, big names available, that teams are going to be willing to go all in as early as possible to try to secure that portion of their plan so that they can move forward. That's sort of where I think the Harper conversation comes into play because, you know, for Boras, it's a matter of playing the field a little bit and trying to make sure that he's getting the best possible situation for his client. And that may come with a little bit of added publicity, like throwing out we've already picked the team, even though it's against all of the rules.
Right.
Which is why it's clearly not factual, but the man knows how to stir the pot. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, and that, you know, again, all it took was one person picking up on it, and then it rockets around Twitter, and people are just guaranteed, oh, well, you know, Harper's already get this. No, it's not. And you're right. It's going to be very interesting to see how this offseason plays out, because there's a section of a large group of teams that are not going to be involved with Bryce Harper or Manny Machado. You know, are they going to slow play what they do, or do they try to hurry up and sign a Josh Donaldson, whoever else might be out there, before Harper and Machado set this market, and then Josh Donaldson can say, oh, Bryce Harper got $350 million. I want $120 over 3 years, or whatever it may be. Do you try to sign him before that happens? I don't know. I think there's going to be some pressure on the owners to not let it drag like it did last year. Mm-hmm. Just because they got into that, oh, well, now we start talking about collusion, now we start talking about this and that, even though it really was just, it's smart business, but there comes a point where you've got to do something. And like I said, I those winter meetings may be interesting. We may see some trades before then. We'll see how November shakes out. But, those big guys will probably be on the market a little bit more, if nothing else, to let Boris, see if somebody else will flinch as other people are signing. So, and I think we're both of the agreement. The Cardinals need to be in that mix. They need to be very active in that. And I'm not saying that they will get Bryce Harper, and I don't, it's probably safe to bet that they won't, just because 29 teams will not get Bryce Harper. I mean, we've gone over four. It's just the absolute perfect storm situation, it feels like. And nothing is coming. There are good players coming up, like Nolan Arenado and things like that in the next couple of years, but nobody is as good as Bryce Harper at the age of Bryce Harper, hitting left-handed like Bryce Harper, that would be just adored. And something we haven't talked about, Bryce Harper is a really good way to connect with the next generation of fans coming up, and that's what baseball wants to do.
Yeah, it's so interesting to me all of the ways that Bryce Harper makes sense. I had a pretty extended conversation with Benjamin Hockman of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch in a video that I put up early, over the weekend. And we talked a lot about Bryce Harper, and we're very much on the same page about that. It was interesting hearing Ben talk about just how many boxes Harper seems to check for the Cardinals in so many ways. And a lot of those are baseball specific. Obviously, you mentioned those, the power hitter, the left-handed hitter, really sort of solidifies the middle of the lineup, is young enough and talented enough to be there for an extended period of time. He brings that star quality, all of those things. But I think he's such an interesting character that brings a whole different, I don't know that it necessarily just automatically brings a whole different generation to St. Louis Cardinals baseball, but it definitely has a different flavor. It definitely has that different reach. Bryce Harper is going to bring people, whether it's to the games physically or to the broadcasts, that wouldn't tune in otherwise, because he's exciting and he's young and he's fresh and he's kind of that superstar guy that is the face of baseball type. And man, you talk about this idea of the legacy of Cardinals baseball, and that's great. But if there's not somebody who can then translate it to another generation of Cardinals fans, mm-hmm. With the way he plays and the way he interacts in the community. And look, I told Benjamin the same thing. I've not always been the world's biggest Bryce Harper fan, but watching him sort of develop into the guy that he is now, by all accounts, he's a good dude who just wants to go play baseball and have fun and win a championship and do it in front of people who enjoy watching him play baseball and have fun and win championships. And that sounds a lot like St. Louis to me. So it just, I get really excited when I think about it, and I probably shouldn't, because we all know how these things go as far as the Cardinals front office is concerned. But Benjamin's point was, if there's ever been a time for the Cardinals to sort of go all in and just do it, It seems like it's now, and it seems like it's Bryce Harper because he fits in so many ways. And I've had a lot of people tell me just like a hard no on everything that is Bryce Harper, and that's absolutely mind-boggling to me. But, you know, I respect the fact that they see it differently. But I think as far as the Cardinals are concerned, whether it's the smart baseball decision, the smart marketing decision, you know, just a thing that they may not have the opportunity to do again for a very long time, it's going to be really hard to watch them pass it up if in fact they do that.
Yeah, I mean, and I still feel like the front office has circled this offseason and 2-3 years ago, and have been making plans for this. Now, obviously they went after Stanton last year with the idea that, hey, if we get him, that's great. You know, we'll push this off. But I still feel like some of the moves that they have made and the money that they've saved and the development that they've done and the stuff that they have not taken on, I just feel like they've pointed themselves toward this. They know this whole situation. Now, again, you got to sell Bryce Harper and you've got to put out big money. And those are, I think one is, neither one of those is impossible to do. I feel like Bryce Harper is a guy that you can sell much more easily
Absolutely.
Than some of the others have. But you're right. The Cardinals are running the risk in a couple of years of not really having that legendary player to pass on to. That they're going to, you know, when Wainwright's gone and when Yadier Molina's gone, and again, those are, Yachty should be in Cooperstown. Adam Wainwright will not be, but both of those are Cardinal Hall of Famers. After that, I mean, you've got Matt Carpenter, who's probably also going to be a Cardinal Hall of Famer, but for all of his benefits, I don't know that he's quite to that level. I mean, when Molina and Wainwright are gone, is Matt Carpenter going to have the, well, I think we can guarantee he's not going to have the adoration of the fan base that some others do, because I'm sure when he
what?
Hits, I know, I have a feeling that when he hits, you know, if he hits another 140 in April this year, then the diva comments will be back out in full force. But, you know, so they, to get a guy like Bryce Harper, and again, you're projecting a lot. We're projecting that he's going to be, you know, what Bryce Harper is. We're projecting that he's going to maybe even be better as he gets into his prime. All this stuff, but if he is that, and he plays for your team for 10, 11, whatever years, you know, he's the next guy that can go into Cooperstown with a Cardinal on his hat.
And quite honestly, the Cardinals don't have that. I mean, and they haven't. I think Molina's a little bit undersold in that category because he's not necessarily the face of baseball, but I think he's certainly been the face of the franchise since Albert Pujols left in a lot of ways. But even if you look at the guys coming up, we've talked about this before. It's really, really hard to develop that guy. You know, when you're a team whose goal is to be in the running for the playoffs every year because you're not drafting the super high, as close to a sure thing as sports will give you draft picks, and you don't necessarily get that on the free agent market because you're not the big market that's going to spend the money. It's really hard to do that, and the Cardinals had it in Albert Pujols. They thought they had it in Oscar Taveras, which, of course, is a circumstance that is completely out of their control as far as developing a superstar. But, man, I just look at it, and I think if you have the chance to get that guy and you don't, then, you know, you're another 4 or 5 years down the road potentially before you have a guy that's coming up through the system or you have a chance at a guy like that again. I know people are going to say Nolan Arenado, and trust me, I love watching that guy play, but if you pass up the opportunity that you have, you're not guaranteed that you're going to have it again the next time around.
No, absolutely. And again, if the Cardinals get outbid by somebody, it happens, but they can't just say we're not going to play in this market. They have to be serious contenders. And, you know, again, Harper may get excited about playing in Los Angeles or New York, or hopefully not Chicago. Because the only thing worse than Bryce Harper not coming to St. Louis is watching him 19 times a year wearing baby blue pinstripes. So let's not talk about that. Let's go on. Now that I've depressed myself.
Way to go from that really high to, this is my nightmare.
It's like, oh, wait a minute. That first step's a doozy. Okay. So, announced this week are the Gold Glove finalists. Yadier Molina is there up against, you know, as somebody pointed out, Buster Posey only played like 80-something games behind the plate. And then it's Manny Pena from the Brewers, who also, I think, was a part-timer. So it feels like this is a Yachty slam dunk. Doesn't mean that it will be, but it feels like it. And then you have that Colton Wong guy.
I know him.
Up against, DJ LeMahieu and Javier Baez, which, again, looking at the statistics, this is at best a two-man race, and they had to put Javier Baez in there because he was a Cub or something. I don't know. So I guess I know you weren't surprised when Colton Wong's name was up there, but was it a little bit of a relief to see that what we saw, baseball saw as well?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think it's been hard for Colton to gain any sort of traction with the Cardinals fan base, much less nationally, because look, his start to his major league career was pretty rough, and we've detailed at length the challenges he had to face, both with his own streakiness and his own mind games, but also with the way that he was handled and the way that there was always someone breathing down his neck, perhaps when there didn't need to be, would be my argument. So the first couple of years of his major league career were not what we all hoped they would be. They're not what he expected them to be, and they're not what his potential was. So it's taken a little while to gain some traction, both on the field as far as his ability to play at a very high level consistently, particularly defensively, but I think we also saw some really nice strides offensively this last year as well. But as far as this award is concerned, I think it really is just, look, the Gold Gloves are what they are. I don't know that anyone takes them particularly seriously as a, like, this is the telltale sign of someone's great season, because there's a lot that goes into it that has nothing to do with the actual defense played on the field. But to me, it's not so much, cool, he's a finalist for a Gold Glove Award, that particular thing. It's that, hey, look, nationally, people are recognizing what he did on the field was spectacular from a defensive standpoint. His numbers are better than anyone else at the position in the league in a number of cases. Defensive runs saved, plus minus ratings. Derek Gould did a piece about it, sort of breaking down the ways that Colton Wong is a step above the rest of the second baseman in the league. And it's nice to see that a defensive award was not necessarily limited by or influenced, rather, by offensive stats, as it so often is, in allowing Colton to be one of the finalists.
Yeah, it is very true, and hopefully, again, hopefully he wins it and gets that justification and has that ability to at least point to that. And like you said, Gold Gloves may not be what they used to be, but to be able to point to that in his career and say, people understand what I am.
And quite honestly, we all know that Colton Wong is a competence guy.
Absolutely.
He's at his best when he's playing confidently. And to have, I feel like it's almost just going to be this weight off of his back where he can finally just say, finally, you know, I played a season the way that I know I'm capable of playing it in a lot of ways with still a lot of room to grow, and people noticed. And I think that's going to lead to a very confident Colton Wong, and a confident Colton does some pretty ridiculous things on the baseball field.
Yeah. And again, I think he's even been fairly, circumspect, but still kind of said, things are better now in with the managerial situation. So you have a full year of Mike Schilt, a situation where he's got that confidence. It could be a really, really great year for him next year, and we'll hopefully get to see that. That was not the only award, though, that the Cardinals, well, that was, you know, that won. I guess they were finalists, but Yadier Molina actually did win the Roberto Clemente Award, was the fan selection, plus he was the top of the list of Vera Clemente, Roberto's wife, and for all his work that he did with Puerto Rico, that had to be a huge thing. I know he wasn't able to accept the award at the series. He was busy, you know, managing a team or something, I think. But to see him get that kind of acknowledgement, and again, that's not something that necessarily helps you get into Cooperstown, but you put that on your resume along with everything else that Yadi has, and it doesn't hurt matters.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things that those guys don't do it for that award, mm-hmm. But it's nice to see him get the recognition anyway. To know how much Molina and his family and that foundation means to people in Puerto Rico, how much they've done to just try to be the source of some sort of positivity for a lot of people who have gone through a lot in the last year in particular. When we were doing a lot of stuff, well, Yadi Week over at Birds mm-hmm. on the Black, we had a couple of pieces pretty much focused on what Molina means to Puerto Rico and to Puerto Rican baseball fans and why you see him carry so much pride for Puerto Rico with him into everything that he does, why that passion is there when you see him play in the World Baseball Classic. So it's not at all surprising to see Yadi take his off season to go do something to make lives better in Puerto Rico. It's nice, as you said, to see that recognition because there are a lot of good guys in baseball who do a lot of really great things for people who need it. And it's a prestigious award for a reason because it means so much more than the game. So to see Molina as the Cardinals representative join a list of other great Cardinals players and people to win that award. Again, it's not because he was aiming for that, mm-hmm. But it's nice to see that it made enough of an impact to earn that recognition. Of course,
yeah, you're right. It was not at all on his mind when he was going through this. It was just trying to help the people that are important to him. But mm-hmm. To get that recognition is a very nice thing. And it's huge, and I think it's very, very indicative of the person that Molina is, and we've seen that. I think we've seen that so much about, you know, we don't even, not even the charity thing, because I think a lot of times if you think Cardinals and you think charity, you think Adam Wainwright just because he's a little bit more, you know, open mm-hmm. with the big league impact and stuff like that. But you see Yadi as that leader, as a guy that's, you know, he's willing to work with, you know, the opposition, you know, catchers of the opposition. I mean, it's almost like, you know, catching comes first and the team comes second to some degree. And I don't say that in a negative way. It's just that the fraternity of catchers, he's going to be there. And you've heard other people say that he's, you know, giving them tips or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. You know, he leads this team. And so it's pretty remarkable. And again, very, very glad to see him get that because, you know, I don't remember the last time the Cardinal won that. And again, it's, you know, it's not a big deal either way. They, you know, nominate somebody from each team, and that person has done some good work. It's not a huge thing that you win the whole thing, but it's probably been a while, I think. And so to see him get that respect is, and I think it is, it's just a mark of the respect that he has in the game. And so very cool. So Clayton Kershaw living up to his postseason reputation, or living down to it, depending on how you look at it. Another home run given up to J.D. Martinez, and now it's 4-1 with two-plus innings left to play. So given Boston, given everything, it feels like this is it. We'll start seeing free agency tomorrow. We'll see what Adam Wainwright's contract looks like now that he can go file for free agency and then sign with the Cardinals again. Is there anything that you really expect to see? Let's put it this way. When do you expect to see some Cardinal movement? Do you think they'll do anything this month?
I have no idea how to read this front office at this point. You know, we thought they'd go out and do a lot last season, and they spent so much time focused on Stanton that didn't really happen. So I don't know. I would not even begin to speculate on when they'll start making moves. It all really sort of depends on, as we talked about earlier, how this offseason starts to work itself out, and, you know, who picks up the phone and how willing they are to move quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I mean, there's some moves that are going to have to be made fairly soon with, you know, taking people off the 40-man roster and,
sure,
and things like that. And so we'll have a little bit of that to talk about sometime soon, hopefully. But, until the Cardinals make some moves, Tara and I will probably be a little bit quiet as well. We'll probably try to do a show in November, maybe a show in December. With, you know, if they actually do something, then we'll be here to talk about it, probably. Except for, you know, Tara could be bouncing around some part of the coast, or
it is possible. I mean, it is possible.
You know, when she's in demand, you can't help it. I mean, you know, people want her working on this on the sports, and I can't blame them, really. So, just gets, you know, I just have to slide down the, you know, the list because I don't pay her. All right. We could just get sponsors, then you could really big. If we could just find that person in South Carolina that won the lottery.
Yeah. I mean, they are probably Cardinals fans, right?
Absolutely. And I'm sure that they would love to just pay us to do this show. We would do it every day if they paid us to.
Yes, absolutely. I'm in.
Oh, but anyway.
Tara, so, you know, internet, work on that,
yeah,
and
exactly.
We'll get back to you.
You're right. You know, you give us enough money to quit our jobs, and we will give you a show every day. That is
Sounds
that
good.
Is our promise to you. And if you've got ways to make it work, you can find us on Twitter. We will be happy to meet with you. Anyway. Coming up soon, over on my side, we'll start with the Twitter rankings tomorrow, and then the Cardinal Blogger Awards ballot comes out on Wednesday, so you can start voting there for various awards. Tara, you had your thing with Benjamin Hoffman, which I need to go watch. Do you have any more planned for the next
Working
week?
On it. Working on it. I don't have anything quite ready to announce. I don't want to get your hopes up. No, but my schedule's weird, and as you just made note of, there's not a whole lot to talk about right now. So, you know, we'll give it a little bit of time to breathe, let the off season get underway, and I've got a list of people to try to get in touch with. So hopefully there'll be some exciting people to talk to over the off season, and we'll go from there.
Very good. Well, we will look forward to it when we see it. And if you haven't had a chance, like I haven't, to go listen to Tara and Benjamin Hoffman, you can check that out at Birdseeds.
If an audio medium is more your thing, it did just go up on iTunes as a podcast. So
that I like to hear.
There you go.
So
just trying to give the people what they want.
Tara, mastering all sorts of media here, you know. So there you go. Check it out there as well. Is that on the Birds on the Black feed, I guess?
Indeed.
There you go. You know, just make sure you get Tara and not Kyle's latest one, because those are totally different things.
Very different. Very different. But thoroughly entertaining.
Absolutely.
But very different.
We love us some Kyle Reese, but, you know, very different things. So anyway, until we meet again, that is Tara. I'm Daniel. Good night.
Hey, Cardinals fans. Thanks for listening to this week's show. If you liked what you heard, you can find us on iTunes. Just search Gateway to Baseball Heaven under podcasts and click subscribe. While you're there, feel free to give us 5 of those little gold stars, or even a quick review. And tune in next time as we break down another week in baseball heaven.